So like I said, last year when we did, when we came back from CIY, we had our Youth Sunday then. And Justin Borntrager, who is in the back hiding right now, he gave the sermon. And actually, when I asked Justin to do it, I asked him because he was a senior. He was going off to college from there. But at the same time, Ben said, hey, I want to preach. So I said, okay, well, how about next year? He's like, okay. So he's had a year to prepare. He started last week. No.
Hey.
So, Ben, it's on you.
Good morning, and welcome to Miami Town Church of Christ Youth Sunday. Today I'll be talking to you about death and how seeing is believing. In our human minds, death is a final thing. When we have been faced with death, it stops us, and we can't contemplate it as we should. But God understands seeing is believing. Not only did God send his only son to die for us as a lamb for slaughter, for the forgiveness of our sins, but as an example of how he has the ultimate power, the power to raise whoever he wants and have them spend eternity with him in heaven. All we have to do is accept him and ask forgiveness and put death and rise anew in the waters of baptism. As humans, we think death is a punishment. Bible stories talk about punishing people and putting them to death, stoning them to death. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. John 10, verse 33. We are not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy because you are a mere man, claimed to be a god. Acts 7, verse 59. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Hebrews 11, verse 37. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two, and they were killed by the sword. But God has the power to decide the ending. Seeing is believing. So in John 11, we look at the illness, death, and family grieving of Lazarus being brought back from death, all because God and Jesus command he rise again. John 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured the perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so God's son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus. So when he heard Lazarus was sick, he stayed there where he was for 2 more days and then said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Jesus loved this man, and he waited 2 days before he went to go help him. Jesus knew no matter what happened, he could help Lazarus. It didn't matter when he arrived. What mattered is he did arrive, and Lazarus knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He knew Jesus was the Lamb, that he was sent to die for us. He believed. The disciples said they believed, but Jesus knew they were going to have to see things for themselves. John chapter 11, verse 12. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going to go wake him. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he would get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but disciples thought he had meant natural sleep. Now, I love this because the disciples think that Jesus is talking plainly, as he always does, but he was trying to kind of put it lightly. But they didn't quite see that. So then he just told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that way you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, so that way we may die with him. Jesus knew that the disciples claimed to believe in him, but he knew that he was going to have to show them. As humans, we struggle to believe anything we can't see. I mean, we have Ripley's, believe it or not. And the news shows that videos, we see it, we believe it, as we struggle because we still have deep fakes and Photoshop and Ryan on a purple horse at the rodeo. Like, he wanted them to know that not only believe he could do what he said he could do, but he wanted them to know that Jesus said who he said he was. Know in their hearts and their minds to remove all doubt. John 11, verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come there to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise in the resurrection at the last day. Notice, Martha already knows that Lazarus, who in his final day, she knows she will see him again. John 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, my Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world. After she had said this, she went back to the village and called Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus, who had not yet entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn for there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell to his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, they replied. Jesus wept. Jesus stood there and cried with and for his loved ones. Not only do we grieve, Jesus also grieves with us. John 11, verse 36. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But then some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man kept this man from dying? They doubted. They didn't believe in Jesus. So what was about to happen wasn't just for the disciples, but for all of us as well. All the onlookers, so that this may be passed down by word of mouth for generations to come. Because seeing is believing. He had to show them. He had to show us. John 11, verse 38. Jesus was once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone. But Lord, Martha said, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been in there for 4 days. So back then they had no embalming, they had no nothing. So they had to bury the people as quickly as possible. So decomposition starts within minutes of death and it's in full swing by the second and third day. He's been in there for 4 days in an enclosed space, rotting. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you will always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they believe that you sent me. Even though Martha had seen what Jesus had done in the past, she had witnessed, but she still has doubts just as we all. I feel like he is talking to Martha. I can feel his annoyance in his words as he's saying, don't you believe me? Haven't you seen what I've done? Do you still not believe? I feel like he's saying that to all of us as well. And then he talks out loud to God so that way everyone can hear him. I know that you can hear me. I am talking out loud for their benefit. Make sure they hear me. John 11, verse 43. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hand and feet wrapped in strips of linen and cloth around his face. "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many Jews who had come to visit Mary and seen what Jesus did believed him. Not only did Jesus restore spirit into Lazarus, give him back his body, he restored the body to full, back to it, how it was before death. Jesus has absolute power over everything. Even the dead listen to Jesus. Why can't we? Because we are imperfect. Because we brought sin into this world. We invited Satan into our paths in the Garden of Eden, and now we can't rid ourselves of his temptations, his empty promises. John 14, verse 1. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that we are not so, I would have told you that I am going back there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be there with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going." Jesus talks to the disciples and tell them what is going to happen to him and where he is going. Jesus did this to comfort them and us to prevent as they prepared to lose him. He knew that he was preparing them for, he knew that he was preparing them and struggled with what he was telling them. He was telling them about preparing for heaven for them. I don't know if we have studio apartments or comfy couches with like a buffet over there, but Jesus said he is preparing a place for us. John 14, verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even though I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak for my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the work I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, and you may ask anything in my name, and I will do it." I feel like Jesus says this a lot. He says, "Don't you believe me? Haven't you seen me? Haven't you met me? I'm standing right here." He has repeated this many, many times to the disciples, and he repeats this to us so often. He repeats it to me a lot. And they keep thinking that he's being cryptic and he's trying to speak in parables as he always does, but he's not. He is speaking extremely literally here. John 20, verse 1. "Early on in the first day of the week, while it is still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon and Peter and the other disciples, the ones Jesus had loved, and they said, 'They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where we have put him.'" Isn't that like us? not believing someone we love has passed. We have to reach out and see for ourselves. John 20, verse 3. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciples outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind them and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. And then we fall apart in defeat. We learn the truth. We sit at the graveside and cry, looking for our loved ones. Mary Magdalene is sitting at Jesus' grave looking for his body, not understanding what has happened, because seeing is believing. And she saw him die, and he was buried. John 20, verse 13. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said. "I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. She did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" God says it all the time. And we look right at him and say the same thing. "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." He stands right in front of us and says, "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" When we are looking for him, but we don't realize he's standing right in front of us. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold it to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go inside to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus tells us not to hold on to him, his physical form. He'll be waiting for us in heaven, getting ready to receive us, which his sacrifice paved the way for us, the only way to the kingdom of God. And we try to hold on to the physical forms of who we love. And we cry because we watch them die. We're not going to spend much time with them. But we will then spend forever with them in heaven. So yes, at a funeral, it is a day to cry, a day to mourn, but it's also a day to rejoice that they have gone to meet God ahead of us. Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Jesus left us here on earth, but he did not leave us alone. He left us with the Holy Spirit. It lives in us. It's a little different than when people say that your loved ones are living in your hearts and your minds. This is more literal. The Holy Spirit is living within us. It resides within us. The Holy Spirit is invited in you by you, sent to God to help prepare you to be a disciple for him, to show others the way to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. With the promises that Jesus left us, we know that we will rise with him. We will enter the gates of heaven to be with him, and our loved ones will arrive before and after us. Jesus has cleared the way for us. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. For none of us have lived for ourselves alone, and none of us have died for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he may be the Lord of both the dead and the living. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is our everything. For those who are left behind when our loved ones pass, we are given the promise that we belong to the Lord, that one day when it is our turn to join him, we will leave our loved ones behind, but it will be a joyous day for us. It is not sad when we go, but a rising to heaven will begin our eternal journey with God. We have seen it through scriptures that God is going to bring us, and we will have to believe in that. The band wants to come up here and join me. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare him with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And wait for his son, and wait to his son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. God controls when he wants us, but it is Jesus, God's only Son, who laid down his life to save our souls, to save our eternity in heaven. If we accept him and get baptized, inviting the Holy Spirit into us, we now see that death is not a punishment, but death is a release from our mortal body. It allows us to rise up and meet Jesus at the gates to see and believe for ourselves. All we have to do is accept him today. So if you're ready to receive the Holy Spirit today, ask Jesus into your life, please come forward while the band plays. And if you would like us to pray with you, you can come forward and sit in the pew. If you would like us, to pray for you, you can come and come forward and pray at the steps of the stage. Some might call it an altar. And if you have been baptized but would like to place your membership here at my attention to Christ, please join us. Please rise and sing with us.